John chapter 14, we've been on this chapter for a few weeks now, seems like. But we talked about that Jesus said he is the only way to salvation. We talked about that verse 7, that the knowledge that the apostles had was limited. They should have perhaps known more than what they did, but they truly did not have a good understanding of really what he was doing. They still thought in a lot of physical ways. And Jesus knows that he's about to be crucified, and he's taking these last few hours that he has with these apostles, and he's trying to teach them things that they're going to need. They've got a big job ahead of them, and again, they don't understand everything that lies ahead, and he wants to prepare them as much as he can. And that's where we're at. He's trying to encourage them. He knows they've been discouraged because of things that he has had to call to their attention. And again, he wants to build them up. He wants to help them. We got to verse 16 last time, and we talked about the Holy Spirit. We spent most of class Sunday morning talking about the fact that the Holy Spirit was given differently in the first century than the Holy Spirit is today. We went to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we looked at a few verses there, and we talked in great lengths that once the Word of God was completed, and the completed word was revealed unto mankind, we no longer need spiritual gifts as far as being miraculous anymore. Those miraculous things we know were to confirm the word. And we don't have to have anything to confirm the word anymore, because I can tell you to open your Bible to John 14 and verse 16. They could not do that. They were in the process of living this out. And they had to have something to make it believable by the people. Today we have everything completed. All things that pertain to life and to godliness have been revealed in this Bible, 2 Peter 1:3. The Word is finished. There's no more revelation. Hebrews 1 verse 2, Jude verse 3, it's completed. So everything we need is here now, and once we had everything we need, and those spiritual gifts were no longer needed. When the apostles died, the ability to transfer that spiritual gift, the miraculous abilities into other people, it died with them. So after the first century, no more. It really doesn't matter what other people say and what they teach and maybe even what they believe. If it is not backed up by the Bible, it's just simply not true. A lot of people today think they still have the miraculous measure of the Spirit. You're going to see people and hear people that think they can heal people, but they can't heal people. I mean, they can claim whatever they want, and they can say they do it, but yet nothing's being done. We don't see things like this on a daily basis. People are not, you know, I brought this up Sunday. If you could really heal people, wouldn't COVID have gone away? You know, I watched a video, Kenneth Copeland, I believe it is, you know, the big guy on TV, and he rebuked COVID, and he said, you know, it's going to go away and all of these things, but you know what? Still here. Nothing changed. We have to understand when we study in John chapter 14 that Jesus is speaking to his apostles. And the things that he is telling them, not necessarily do all of it apply to us. When he talks about he is going away and he's going to send his Spirit to them, yes, he sent his Spirit to them. But the things that he promised to them are not necessarily promised to us. And for example, we're going to go through here and we're going to talk about that the Spirit is going to remind these guys of everything that he ever said. And I don't know about you, but have you heard people today that say the Spirit leads them to preach? And the Spirit laid the message upon their heart and told them what to say and... You know, in my younger days, I can remember, I hadn't been out of high school long, and I had friends that would invite me to go with them. Now, I wasn't going to church then. And I would go with them from time to time, and I can remember those denominational preachers getting up, and they would say, the Spirit led me to say this today. And he would go through 45 minutes, an hour, or whatever. And I can remember plainly, even though I wasn't trying to live right, I really didn't have an interest in that time in my life of living right. I can remember he really didn't have anything to say. He talked for a long time. And I can remember a lot of what they said. I can remember them talking about the old paths and how they got saved and all this and that. And again, it was the same every time I would go, but nothing was really said. But yet they claimed the Spirit led them to say it. Brethren, when the Spirit led people to preach in your Bible, they had something to say. And what they had to say was very, very important. What they had to say was backed up by the words that Jesus had spoken, just like it was intended to be. But you see, today, it's far, far different. It's far, far different. I've got the Word. And if I'm going to stand before you and I'm going to present a lesson, I'm going to make sure that I have studied that Word. I don't want to get up here and you know, make myself look silly, and you say, well, you don't do a very good job at that. Maybe I don't. But I want to make sure I know what I'm talking about to the best of my ability. These apostles didn't have to do that. They didn't have to sit down and get all these commentaries out and Greek and Hebrew lexicons. And they didn't have to do any of that. When they stood up to present a message, they were given the message. They were given the Word. When Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, it wasn't because, man, he had labored over that sermon. It was given to him. When Peter went before Cornelius and he preached that message was given to him. When Paul was on Mars Hill and we looked at that other night, that message was given to him. He didn't have to labor and study and dwell on it. He didn't have to pray about it for God to just please help him to get up and do the best. He didn't have to do any of that because the Spirit enabled them to do that miraculously. But the Spirit does not do that today. And we've got to understand that. And we're going to see that as we go through this. Does the Spirit still work today? Yes. Yes, we know that the Spirit works providentially. And there are scriptures to back that up. God still works providentially today. He always has. He always will. As long as time stands. The Spirit is in earnest, Ephesians 1 says. When we are become children of God, that Spirit seals us. And until we break that seal and walk away, we know we're going to heaven because the Spirit is that assurance. The Spirit makes groanings that cannot be uttered when we don't know what to say when we're praying. And I know that because Romans 8 tells me that. But brethren, the Spirit doesn't speak to me today. And the Spirit doesn't speak to anybody today through an audible voice. The Spirit speaks today through this Bible. And as long as time stands, the Spirit will continue to speak through this Bible. Everything that the Bible says the Spirit does, the Bible in turn says the Word does. Everything. Because you see, that's primarily how the Spirit works today. So as we go through this for the next several weeks, through John 14 and 15 and 16, you're going to read some of these statements, and you've got to understand, what is Jesus telling his apostles themselves, and what is Jesus saying that can relate to all of us? So we've got to make sure we understand that. Verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. We said that word another means another of the same kind. The Spirit is God. The Spirit is called God in Acts chapter 5 when Peter told Ananias, hey, you lied to the Holy Spirit, you lied to God. The Spirit is God. He is deity. And Jesus says, I am leaving you. And again, they're distraught and they don't know what to do. He has been their comforter, their helper, their advocate, everything. He has supported them and now he's leaving. And he knows they're distraught. So he says, I'm going to send someone else. I'm going to send the third member of the Godhead, and he is going to be indeed that comforter. Comforter means one who is called beside. So therefore, that comforter is going to stand by your side. Even though I'm leaving, he will be with you. Well, the problem sometimes people have is when it says at the end, he may abide with you forever. So people continue to say, hey, that promise is still today, and he still abides with me just like he abided with them. No, he's still working today. The Spirit is still active today, but again, it's in a different way than it was in the first century And we've got to make sure we understand that. And we'll talk a little bit more in a moment why we have to make sure we understand it. He says, verse 17, even the Spirit of truth. Why would he be called the Spirit of truth? The Word of God is truth, right? And the Word of God was given by inspiration, was breathed through the Spirit of God to these holy men who wrote it down. So therefore, indeed, he is the Spirit of truth. He is the giver of truth. He says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. He says the world cannot receive this Spirit. If you looked up that word receive, it's going to have a meaning that to grasp, to hold on to, maybe to seize. And Jesus is telling these apostles, hey, I'm about to be taken. And they don't understand it, but it's just going to be a few hours. They're going to go on into that garden, and there's going to be these guards come, and Judas is going to kiss Jesus, and they're going to seize him. And they're going to take him away, and again, these disciples are going to be distraught. And they're going to be troubled, and Jesus is simply saying, hey, this helper that I'm sending to you, the world can't take him away like it's going to take me away. Now, I understand before anybody gets excited, Jesus freely allowed that to happen. I understand that. He allowed himself to be seized, but the Holy Spirit could not be. The Holy Spirit could never be taken away from them, and that was comfort. It was comfort to know that Jesus was sending this being into their life, and he was going to be with them through thick and thin, no matter how bad it got. He says the world can't seize him, can't take him away, because the world can't see him. It's not that you're going to look over here and see the Holy Spirit standing there. He's a spirit. He's a spirit, and he can't be seen with human eyes. So therefore, the world's not going to be able to take him like it's going to take me. And again, if you're in their shoes, man, that's great comfort. They needed somebody. They had a huge job ahead of them. You know, Jesus had already told them, I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom, and you're going to have to bind and loosen things upon the earth. You guys have got a big job to do. And they needed all the help they can get. He says the world doesn't know him. And the world still doesn't know the Spirit, do they? The Spirit working through the Word today, the world doesn't know that. The world doesn't see that. The world doesn't accept the Word of God, doesn't want the Word of God, and they reject it with everything within them. So that part is still true today. The world doesn't know him. But Jesus tells these apostles, he dwells within you, and he shall be in you. You know, that's still true today. How do I know the Spirit of God dwells within me? Because the Bible tells me so. And everything the Bible says is the Word of God, is the absolute truth. I understand that the Bible tells me in 1 Corinthians 3 that my body is the temple of the Spirit, and the Spirit dwells within me. And maybe one reason it tells me that is because when that Spirit is dwelling within me, that Spirit makes me holy. Not because I myself am holy, but because God has made me holy. So therefore, when I know that, perhaps I should understand that I need to watch the things that I do. Because if my body is the temple of God, and my body is made holy because God is within me, then I don't need to defile that. I need to be very careful with everything. And maybe, again, that's motivation from God to help us in that respect. He says, verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. And again, that word comfortless, it comes from a word that is the same as an orphan. He says, I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. And I want you to think about an orphan. An orphan is someone that is there and no one is to take care of them. They're left to fend for themselves. Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you to fend for yourself. I am going to take care of you. And again, to a group of guys that, as we've talked about in weeks past, that were so discouraged. Man, that was comfort. I'm not going to leave you as an orphan, he says. He says, I will come to you. I will come to you. Yes, Jesus is leaving them in the flesh, but he's going to come to them in the Spirit. And again, sometimes we don't take as much comfort in that because we are a very visual people. But Jesus still dwells within us today, according to Scripture. How do I know that? Again, according to Scripture. Not because He told me in a vision, not because I can feel it, but because of Scripture. God dwells within me. Jesus dwells within me. The Spirit dwells within me. How does all that work? It's above me. It's above my pay grade. But the Bible says so, so I know it's true. You know, and there's some things sometimes we just have to take the Bible says so, and even though we may not fully comprehend it, it's still true. It's still true. He says, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. Again, the same line of reasoning here. You're only going to see my flesh just a little while. It's only going to be actually just a few hours. I mean, this is the night time, and He's going to be taken during this night, and He's going to be put on that unlawful trial at night, and then He's going to be crucified that next day. And so just a little while. He says, but you see me. Even after He's gone, they should be able to see Him. You and I should be able to see Him today. He's still working. Again, not miraculously, but He's still working. And we should be able to see Him. In fact, Paul said in Romans 1:20, we should be able to see Him everywhere, throughout nature and in everything that He does. George Strait sang a song several years ago, I Saw God Today. You ever heard that song? And he talks about he saw God through all the things that God has helped to accomplish. Even a flower blooming or whatever it is, God, springtime, we should be able to see Him. And He tells them, you'll see me. He says, because I live, you shall live also. He's talking about His resurrection. He says, I'm going to defeat death. It's not going to be able to hold me, and I'm going to overcome it. I'm going to give the death blow to Satan, and I'm never going to die again. And because of that, you guys can do the same. Because of that, apply it to us today. We can still do the same. Because He lives, we sing that song, right? I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. We can say all of those things, but it's because He lives. Romans 1:4, He was declared to be the Son of God through the resurrection. And that is why we have hope, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Because He was able to live and overcome death. And He's trying to encourage them. The same thing. You see, we know what things apply to us from John chapter 14 because of other scriptures. And I want us to understand that. If I can take these things that He says and I can take other scriptures and back it up that it applies to us, then I've got to believe it applies to us. But if I can, I've got to be careful. So I've got to make sure I've got to rightly divide this thing as we go along, and I need your guys' help with that. He says, verse 20, at that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. At that day, what did He just talk about? His resurrection. When you see that I have resurrected, and He showed them that through many infallible proofs, Acts 1 verse 3. And He was shown to over 500 people and all of those things. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father and He in me. You shall know that all of these things that I have told you are true, because nobody can do this except God works within Him. So you're going to know without a shadow of a doubt that I'm in my Father. But I want you to notice something else. In ye and me, and I in you. He's speaking to these apostles, and He's trying to get them to see the point that the only way that all of this works out is Jesus has to be obedient to the Father, and we have to be obedient unto Him. I'm in my Father, and ye in me. That's the only way it works. You see, in Colossians chapter 3, the Bible tells us, Colossians 3, yes, 3 and 4, tells us that I am dead, and my life is hid with Christ. I am dead. When I decided that I'm going to give my life over to Him and I'm going to submit into His will, and I'm buried in that waters of baptism and I come up a new creature, I am dead. And my life is hid in Christ. I am in Him. Because you see, the only way that I can ever come before the Almighty And be holy is to be in Him. And we talked about this a few weeks ago, how God sees me today is not necessarily how I see me. Because as a Christian, I'm still a very imperfect person. And I don't always make the right decisions, but God sees me when I strive to be a faithful Christian as I am in Him. And that is the only way I can ever remain right with Him. Because Christ is emphasizing this thing. Man, you guys have got to stay in me. And I in the Father. And this is a joint effort to go to heaven. Jesus providing all the help that we need through that blood, that forgiveness, to enable us to be what God would have us to be. Verse 21, he says, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. I underline keepeth them twice in my Bible because that is key to all of this. We can have his commandments. We can say we know what to do. And again, church, we shouldn't have to stress this so much, but we have to. It's not enough just to know. It's not enough just to hear. And James stressed that, right? Be a doer of the word and not hearers only. If we're just a hearer, we fail. We'll never accomplish anything. He says we're like a man looking in the mirror and we go away and forget what we looked at. And because we don't do the things that he says, but he says, if you have my commandments and you keep them, he it is. I underline that in my Bible too. He it is. The person that the Father loveth and the Father is pleased with is the one that has decided in his life, I'm going to do what he said. I'm going to believe in him with all my heart, and my belief is going to motivate me to action. And action is the only way God will ever be pleased with me. If you read through the Hall of Fame in Hebrews 11 over and over again, by faith they acted, they acted, they acted, they acted. And then and only then was God pleased with those people. By faith they acted. By faith you and I keep his commandments. We believe him enough that we're convicted that that is the way. He is the way to heaven. And again, it is motivating. It is motivating for us to want to be in that love of God. And the only way we can go to heaven is to be in that love of God. And that love of God is found in Christ, Romans 8, 38 and 39. And brethren, that's where we want to stay. Again, in that in him relationship. Jesus says to those people that do that, I'll manifest myself unto them. You'll manifest yourself. What does that mean? Well, the apostles had the same question. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot. Now remember, Judas, the one we think about, he's gone. He's already left. He's on his way to get his money, and he's going to betray him. We're talking about Thaddeus. Other gospel accounts call him Thaddeus. So Thaddeus says, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? I want you to notice something about what he said. What were they still looking for? Still looking for an earthly kingdom, weren't they? Lord, you're going to manifest, you're going to show us, you're going to show yourself unto us, and you're going to affirm all of these things unto us, but you're not going to do it to the world. But Lord, if you're sitting on that throne in Jerusalem and you're ruling and you're this big political figure, they're going to see it, right? And you say, that's not what he said. That's exactly what he meant. Because that's what they believed the whole time. They have never been able to grasp the idea that this thing is completely spiritual. And Jesus did not intend to come to set up an earthly kingdom. And brethren, I mean, again, it comes from this whole premillennial idea that people still today are expecting him to come back and set up a millennial kingdom. But that's not what he's talking about at all. He says, I'm going to give you something to assure you. When he manifests himself unto us, he has given us something that's going to assure us that he's going to keep his end of the deal. And John understood that a little bit later on when he penned 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. He has manifested all of those things unto us. He has shown us those things through the revealing of the Word, through the Spirit. And therefore, we can know today that he is who he says he is, and he's going to keep his end of the deal. And we can know that we're going to go to heaven. And these guys didn't understand that because they're looking at it again from the wrong viewpoint. But you and I have got to look at it from the correct one as we study together. Jesus answered Thaddeus here, verse 23. And he said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. If a man loves me. Why didn't he answer him? Why didn't he just say all the things that I said? Because he knew they weren't ready to understand it. And he knew they really weren't going to grasp all of these things until after he was crucified and resurrected. And he's told them as much several times already through what we've read. You don't get it yet, but hereafter you're going to get it. You're going to understand because, again, you're thinking physical. So Jesus points them in the direction that they need to be pointed. He doesn't explain it in detail. He just simply says, if you love me, you'll keep my words. You know, that's what he's already told them. And if you go back up here to verse 15, he's just repeating it again. Just do what I say. Don't question everything that just do what I say. You realize today if we would do that, stop questioning everything that he says and trying to attach human wisdom to it and a human reason. Just take what he says and do it. That's his answer. Just do it. If you love me, keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Therefore, Jesus and the Father and the Spirit dwelt when in a Christian. How? It's above me. It's above me. But he said the same thing that he just said up here in verse 20 and 21. Just do what I say, and I'll be with you. Just do what I say, and I'll help you. Verse 24, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. Well, that goes along with what he said in verse 23. If you love me, you're going to do it. If you don't love me, you're not. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. And he's told us that so many times through the book of John. I'm just repeating what I was told to say. It's what Jesus is saying. Verse 25, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. Now, we've got to understand verse 25 before we get to verse 26. He says these things. I underline that. Because what that's talking about is everything that he's taught them. Man, I am giving you the last things that I really want you to know. These things. So remember that. These things that I'm telling you right now, I'm telling you being present with you. I'm right here with you face to face, he says, and I'm trying to bring all of these things to you to get you through what's about to come. So he's talking to them, themselves. He's not speaking to us here. He's speaking to those apostles, getting ready to die. And he tells them, verse 26, but, now stop. These things, all of these things I'm telling you right now that you're going to have to do and you're going to have to carry forth and you're going to have to teach, I'm present with you right now and I'm teaching you, but I'm leaving. But I'm leaving. And I know. And I know that's not what it says right here, but it's what he's talking about. But I know you're going to forget. Now I want to ask you something. We already said in John chapter 14, these guys are discouraged. They feel they're at the bottom of the barrel. Everything that they've worked for 3.5 years is falling apart. They've forsaken their families, their homes, their jobs, everything. And now Jesus is leaving. They can't go with him. They're going to deny him. They're betraying him. They're going to forsake him. All of these things are piled up on them, so they're very, very anxious right now. And when you're very, very anxious, do you necessarily retain everything that somebody's told you? You don't do that on a good day, right? I don't. I mean, on your best day, you're not going to remember everything somebody told you. And Jesus knew that. I'm teaching you all of these things, but I know you're not going to retain it all. I know you're not going to be able to teach other people these things that I'm telling you, but I've got a plan. I've got a plan. He says, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, we've already talked about that, verse 16, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, do we grasp the point that Jesus is speaking explicitly to them? He says, all of these things I have spoken to you, apostles, you guys right here, you 11 guys standing in front of me, I've told you these things, but you're not going to remember them when you need to remember them, so I'm sending the Holy Ghost to you, and he's going to bring all these things back to you. In fact, in Matthew chapter 10, when he sent them out on the limited commission, he says, guys, don't even worry about it. When you're taken up and you've got to defend yourself, you've got to preach to people, you don't even have to think about it. Don't even worry about it. Why? He says, because it'll be given to you in that instant. Well, take back to what we said at the beginning of the lesson. A lot of people believe that that still holds true for them, right? But you see, this promise is not to them. Not in any shape, form, or fashion. He was very explicit to say, I am speaking these things to you. I'm present right here. But you're not going to remember it all. But I'm going to bring somebody that's going to help you. Why was it so important that they be able to remember? Well, at Matthew 16, 18, Jesus says that I'm going to build my church, right? And I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. And he's speaking to these apostles and specifically maybe Peter here. He says, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. These guys are going to be filled with a huge amount of authority, right? They're going to be given the chore of going into the world and preaching to people the word of God that has not even been written down yet. And when the church was established in Acts chapter 2, and those people obeyed the gospel, and the church is beginning here in Jerusalem, and what does it say they did? They continued steadfastly in what? Does it say Jesus' words? That's what it means. But what did they continue steadfastly in? The apostles' doctrine. Because, see, at that point in time in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit endowed those men to stand up and preach that word in a supernatural way that you and I cannot do. We can still preach the word, but it's because we've got it between these two covers. And that's it. It's a totally different promise. I read an article Brother Wayne Jackson wrote, and I've got it on my phone, but a guy sent him a letter, and he was very, very upset with him because some things that Brother Wayne Jackson had said about the Holy Spirit. And he says, I know the Holy Spirit works within me, and I know the Holy Spirit helps me to be able to stand up and preach. And Brother Wayne wrote him back and said, that's not the way it is. He gave him scriptures, all these things. And he says, now hold on a minute. He says, I'm not like these Pentecostal guys that stand up for 30 or 40 minutes and they just ramble, he says, and it's through the Spirit, but they just ramble. He said, so I study and I get myself a manuscript together. That way when I stand up, I don't ramble. So Brother Wayne wrote him back and said, my friend, you're mistaken. If the Spirit is truly working within you, you're not going to have a manuscript. You're not going to have all of these things to help you go by. You're not going to spend hours studying to stand up for people. You're going to have it. You see, I'm convinced that people that say that they believe the Spirit still works in this way, they don't truly believe it. They don't truly believe it. Because if they do, Mark 16 says, and these signs shall follow you when you're preaching the word. What are some of those signs that's going to follow them? You're going to be able to take up a what? Church, a snake. And you're going to be able to take up that snake. He's not going to hurt you. And you're going to be able to get this cup full of poison, and you're going to what? You're going to be able to drink that cup full of poison, and it's not going to hurt you. But the same people today that say they stand up and preach through the Spirit, why, they wouldn't take up a snake. A few of them will, but they get bit and they die, right? And they wouldn't take up a cup of poison because, you see, they claim just what part they like. Maybe very, very sincere people, but sincerely wrong. You see, if all these people today that claim to stand up and preach through the Spirit are truly doing that, why is the message so different? Everywhere you go, one man stands up and says, the Spirit told me to say this, and you go to the other place, the Spirit told me to say this, and those things are completely contrary to each other, but the Spirit has no contradictions. The Spirit working through inspired men, the Word of God, there is no contradictions. You see, God is full of wisdom in what He does. God knew that spiritual gifts, and we talked about this Sunday, would never produce maturity. We looked at 1 Corinthians 12, man, those people were fighting and bickering and jealous and all of those things, and it was not spiritual maturity. But it served its purpose to get them to where they needed to be. And where they needed to be is where we should be today. We've got everything we need. We don't need that. It was for a specific time period. And we've got to understand that. But these guys needed it. Acts chapter 2, they needed it. Acts chapter 4, they needed it. Acts chapter 5, they needed it every time. And brethren, we've got to understand it and rightly divide this and get this thought. Jesus says, verse 27, we'll try to finish real quick. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. Give I unto you, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, it's a peace of God that surpasses all understanding that he gives. And he gives that through that assurance that he offers. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice. Heaven is far, far better. And because he goes away, we are enabled to do all the things that we do today. We're able to have forgiveness. Because I said I go unto my Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it has come to pass, you might believe. Again, the same thing he's repeated. You'll know later. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and he hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise and let us go hence. Jesus knew his time was coming, and that time was the bruising of his heel that was prophesied in Genesis 3, verse 15. He knew that Satan was going to accomplish that, but he knew he was going to be victorious in the end. I'm out of time. I appreciate your attention. We'll pick up chapter 15 Sunday morning, Lord willing.